All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 272 of the official podcast. This week's a special week. We have with us a guest who needs no introduction.
I knew you were going to make that joke.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God. Do you have any other jokes in your head for the elementary school you're entertaining this field trip?
All right, fine. Hey, Curtis, how's it going? Welcome to the schoolyard of debauchery. Feel free to introduce yourself, since I'm doing an abysmal job of it. What do you do?
Man, I don't know. I make YouTube videos. I also have a podcast.
Oh.
I perform comedy, and that's pretty much it.
I sure could use some lessons there if you have some spare time.
No, dude, that was so good. I'm gonna use that one. That's the only joke I'm gonna use forever. Actually,
we can every use time on his podcast when he's too. A guest now.
Yeah.
Well, credit where credit is due. Just leave my name in the description and we'll call it even. And you can keep that one.
whenever I talk about any topic, I'll just be like, now this topic needs no introduction. And I just won't talk about the topic.
Yeah, just silence for a good 30 seconds to a minute. Yeah, that's the trademark patent. No, it's super. It's super good to have you here. Charlie looks like he was about to say something.
I was. I want to talk immediately about shitty movies, because you recently covered a movie that's on my to-watch list now, which is the Anti-Masker movie.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess this will be a fun segue. Do you want to talk a little about the Anti-Masker movie, and then I'd like to talk about a shitty one that I'd recommend
to
you?
Yeah, I want to talk about this movie, too. I've been dying. Yeah. I'm fucking gritting my desk. I'm going to snap it in half with my iron grip waiting to talk about this fucking movie.
I know, man. Me, too.
Yeah. Dude, I was like, I got so many like messages to like make a video about that movie. So I was like, that was the fastest I ever like scripted one, because I didn't want anybody else to do it like before me. So I was like, I watched the movie like three times in one day to do the script. And I was like, probably top five like worst days of my life, because it was like so, I don't know. It was just so like, there's a certain point of like, I think obviously everybody knows like a bad movie is like fun at a certain point, cause it's so bad. Mm-hmm. But like, there were so many times at that part, like with that movie, where it was like, I was so fucking bored, cause like literally nothing was happening. And it was like straight up, the movie was like, if you're in like a high school, like religion class, and you have like you just break off and like make and just like talk about God. Like that was the movie. It was just conversations of people and then like weird montages of shit.
Is it like that Kevin Sorbo movie that was called like God Is Not Dead or something?
I think it's more closely related to like Kirk Cameron Saves Christmas with the Help of Jesus Christ or whatever
that
series is.
That's a classic. Yeah, Kirk Cameron Saves Christmas is a movie where on the surface you think it's going to be really entertaining and fun to watch, and then, I don't know, like a third of the way in, it just becomes miserable.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And also there is that whole thing with the director who is like, he started dating his... He was like 23 when he started dating his like 14-year-old girlfriend and shit. So it was like, it was a whole Christian thing to it.
Whoa, boy.
Jesus Christ.
I think masks are the most of his problem. So what is the movie called?
It's called 2025, The World Enslaved by a Virus.
2025. They're really subtle about the point they're making.
Yeah.
It's a little ahead of the times.
It unironically sounds like an anime title. It sounds very descriptive about what happens.
I'm waiting for the anime remake, but
so it's more like George Orwell's 1984, obviously, right? Very subtle. Yeah. I get it.
It's got all the social commentary and subtle wit and charm and
Yeah.
I assume it starts AD. Just like 1984 with the 2 minutes of hate where they all scream slurs at Jesus at the beginning because Christianity is outlawed.
Yeah, that was the weird part about that movie. It's like they were it was about how COVID, like they were bummed that they like can't go to restaurants anymore and stuff, but like it was also it was like about COVID, but also in the midst of like COVID, somehow Christianity became illegal. Only Christianity, though. Like every other religion is fine.
Let's follow the train of thought. God gave everyone COVID, obviously. So yeah, we need to ban Christianity to stop COVID. It makes sense to some degree.
Yeah.
Do they explicitly say that all the other religions are fine? Are there like Muslims dabbing on the Christians?
That's actually a good point, but I think it was, but in the synopsis, it just mentions Christianity. Because because
that's a bold choice. Because from what I remember, it was like Jewish synagogues that had like the cops busting the doors down to arrest a bunch of Jews.
Right.
That's great. That was in New York.
Yeah, it's the whole movie is just like. Just white Christian people just trying to be oppressed, so they make a movie about it, I guess.
Well, it was a real passion project. That's what matters.
Are there any known actors in it, or is it just completely unknown people? Any names attached to it?
Well, no. The director is a YouTuber.
Oh.
He's like a German Christian YouTuber. So it's like this is absolutely a passion of the Christ Project. Passion.
Yeah, I mean, it looked fucking awful. I can't believe you watched it three times. That's dedication. Surely after the first time, you know what to write about. Like, why did it take three times?
Well, I mean, like, when I make the videos about movies and stuff, I watch it once, like just to watch it, and then like the second time I'll like go through and write what I like, the key points that I want to talk about, and then like the third pass I'll like actually script like alongside it. So it's like I'm sure there's like an easier way to do it, but I'm also just like, it takes me a long time to do stuff, so that's probably why.
That's fair.
Anyway, yeah, it's a great time. You should definitely watch it. It's free. It's on Amazon Prime, and you can watch it.
Oh, I definitely plan on watching it. It seems like the exact kind of movie I like to watch. Not three times, but maybe once, and probably be done with it
once
forever.
Or twice, yeah.
On like 2x speed.
Yeah. So then, now I'd like to recommend something to you. You mentioned you were bored the second or third viewing. What if I told you there's a movie so shitty that you could probably watch it upwards of 10 times and still have fun?
Wow, that would be great.
It is a magnum opus of just shit upon shit. Oh, man.
It's called Moonfall, baby.
Oh, title drop, name drop.
Moonfall. That's huge.
Moonfall, I've never even heard of this.
Yeah, it's what? I was in the same boat before my third eye opened.
It's not even small. It's by Roland Emmerich.
Yeah, and it's big budget.
I've straight up never heard of this movie.
What?
I guess don't spoil it too much.
How am I the only one that's heard of it?
If it's like that good that everybody should watch it, no, I'm just saying try not to spoil it too much, I guess.
The spoilers are the best part of this movie.
Okay, hang on.
You shouldn't ruin it for the audience.
There's a lot that you can spoil, and it's okay, like generic disaster movie, like, oh, and then this guy died and whatever. But there is a twist that I don't know if we want to spoil it, because that fucking melted me in my seat when that happened. I had to cover my mouth so I didn't like laugh through the entire theater full of people.
I mean, you can spoil it if you want.
See,
I mean,
he gave us permission.
All right. If you're out there listening and you're going to watch this movie, this is your spoiler warning, because
it's probably such a good twist that you'll still be surprised even when you see it.
No one could ever see this twist coming.
Yeah, just, I'll just think
10
that
minutes
you're lying.
Ahead, I guess.
Yeah, but this is your spoiler warning. Anyway.
All right, so Curtis, this movie is in theaters currently, so, you know, if you don't have plans for the rest of the day, allow me to sell you on this movie. I'll do the marketing for it. Moonfall is a Roland Emmerich film. Roland Emmerich made, like, Day After Tomorrow, 2012. His whole career is pretty much just
Independence Day.
Yeah, pretty much stinker after stinker, except for Independence Day. And he made Moonfall, which... And keep in mind, this is the guy who recently said Marvel movies are destroying what cinema is really about. And his new movie, Moonfall.
Wait, that was Roland?
Yeah, I thought that was
Steven
Spielberg.
Nope. Roland Emmerich, when this movie dropped, had an article come out where he said Marvel movies are destroying the cinema that I love. there's no decent films being made.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Apparently maybe he meant Sam. Maybe he meant, like, Marvel's, like, extorting specific small cinemas. Maybe that's what he meant.
He was asking, how many superhero movies can you make?
Yeah.
Well, he needs more disaster movies.
His exact quote was, they're ruining the industry a little bit because nobody does anything original anymore, when nearly every movie he makes is big disaster happens.
Well, okay, please don't fucking pigeonhole this man into one genre after Moonfall.
Oh, true.
So, Moonfall is about the moon falling out of its normal orbit and
what the fuck?
Hurtling towards Earth. And
damn.
It's all
what,
about...
does God just turn off gravity or something? It just drops?
Oh, you'd be surprised.
Oh, the reason it happens is shocking and exciting.
Yeah, this is a Darman level twist. So the moon is out of trajectory, and the only one who notices in the beginning is a conspiracy theorist who runs a blog and believes in megastructures, and he breaks the news to the world through an anonymous Twitter post that in the first 2 hours goes turbo viral, and the whole world begins to panic that they now know the moon is crashing towards the Earth based off of one anonymous source on Twitter.
So megastructures is a real conspiracy theory about people who believe, like, the other planets or the moon or the sun are giant constructions or vehicles or what have you built by aliens.
That's cool.
And they're like giant, like, cars that run off of dead suns and shit. And this is a real conspiracy theory. There are people in real life who believe
cool
this.
As fuck.
I believe it.
What's his name? The fat guy from Game of Thrones. Like, what's his name in Game of Thrones? Fucking Edward Tully.
There were so many fat people in
there. Anyway, Tully.
Sam Tully, right? Whatever.
Oh,
so
Sam
Tully fucking shows up. And
Tully.
He's this big conspiracy theorist who believes in this shit, and he's sitting in his room and he's like crunching these numbers and he's thinking this over and he's like, oh, the moon might be falling out of orbit. This is crazy. So he's not sure what to do and he's having this real conflict, and he's sitting in his fucking office and he looks at a poster for SpaceX and he says, what would Elon do?
Yeah.
What? He actually says
he
Elon?
He says it twice in the movie. He says, what would Elon
fuck
do?
Off.
Yeah.
Seriously?
No, seriously.
Fucking seriously. So then, while he's having this quandary over what to do with his life and this new world-changing knowledge, his cat named Fuzz Aldrin pisses on newspaper on the floor. So
that's
he
cute.
Picks up the newspaper covered in cat piss, and he sees that an astronaut is going to be speaking in his town. And he goes, oh, that's it. You're a genius. So the plot moves forward because he read a piece of paper with cat piss on it.
And also thought like Elon would think. So he goes to this astronaut day conference to impersonate an astronaut, and he's lecturing these kids about how the aliens are flying planets, like in the Invader Zim episode with like rockets on the moon. So he's going over this theory, and then the astronaut comes in, he throws the data at him. Long story short, it's all confirmed. The dude's a fucking genius. The moon is truly coming towards the Earth. And then it's this boss battle against the moon where everything's just going wrong. Every possible shit decision that could be made gets made. For example, like eventually the gravity is getting fucked up. So the waves are just turning into giant pillars of water. And
oh, that's cool.
There's a scene where these people are trying to escape and they get on a helicopter and it's like, okay, they're definitely going to escape because now they can just get away from the water because the water's not moving. The water is stationary. It's just being lifted by
it's
the moon.
It's just being pulled towards the moon.
Yeah. So the water's just sitting there and they're in this helicopter. And instead of flying away from the water, the dude kamikazes into the water pillar.
It's
killing me.
Well, that's the safest place to be, really,
in the middle of
the hurricane.
Entire team of advanced analysts that were the ones responsible for calculating all of the data.
That scene happens after one of my favorite scenes in the movie, one of my favorite scenes in the entire movie. So they're setting up this last-minute spaceship launch. There's like all these setup scenes. Like they have to go get a decommissioned space shuttle and like bring this astronaut out of retirement because everything's so fucked and everything's all scattered because the moon's fucking things up. So they cobble together this mission last minute. And they're setting everything up, and they're like, hey, director of NASA and astronaut guy, we have a problem. One of our three rockets won't fire. It's broken. It just will not fire. It's not going to work. So they're like,
leaking
coolant. Yeah, it's leaking coolant. It's not going to fly like this. So they go, well, what do we do? And he goes, well, unfortunately, we can't get to the moon with just two engines. It's not enough propulsion. We can't steer properly. It's not going to happen. We can't do this. So they're like, all right, we have to cancel the flight. So keep in mind, this is at a moment where there is no other hope for humanity. This mission has to happen or everyone on Earth will die. So what do? The commander of NASA gets on a bullhorn and goes, I want to thank everyone for coming here. The mission is canceled. You can go home. She does not explain why. She does not offer options or solutions. She just tells everyone to go home. So everyone goes home. Literally, jump cut, smash cut to every single person at the base leaving. Gone. Immediately gone. Meanwhile, in one of the research labs, these two dudes are running calculations and they go, hey, so we reran the numbers, and it turns out because the moon is getting closer, we can use its gravity to slingshot the shuttle to the surface. We don't need as much thrust because the moon is helping us now. We can do the launch. We can do it. We don't need the third engine. And the director of NASA's like, okay, we better hurry the fuck up and start this shuttle. And the whole time I'm thinking, everyone left only like 15 minutes ago. You can't just call them back and like get an actual launch going, but nope, so they have to cobble together a ragtag team of like five people, which means the conspiracy theorist is one of the people who they have to launch into space.
Oh my God.
They sent Elon Musk to space.
This is where the second thank you Elon comes from, yep. Because I think when they were, and I could be wrong, you'll have to correct me, Andrew, when they were recalculating the numbers.
Oh, I remember. Yeah.
The guy, his name's KC, which is the Game of Thrones guy. KC's like, I did this again. Thank you, Elon. Because he was basing it on SpaceX or some shit.
So they're talking about SpaceX and like engines and propulsion, and they're going over the details in the mission, and he interrupts with, I love Elon.
Yeah, it was something like that.
What the hell?
Oh, this movie is so good.
Is Roland like buddies with Elon or something?
I think he just really wants to suck on his wiener a little bit. Like, I love you, Elon. Mm-hmm. Thanks for the Dogecoin boost or something. I don't really know.
So when they get when they get to space is another one of my favorite scenes. So throughout the movie, there is blatant product placement. It is blatant. There's ads for
Maybe Musk paid for it then.
It's like Transformers where like every car is a Chevrolet and they put the logo right in your fucking face. So fucking in this movie, there's blatant advertising from two companies. One of them we'll talk about in a bit, but the other one is Kaspersky, antivirus.
What?
So
are there viruses on the moon?
Kaspersky has like blatant product placement. The antivirus software no one uses. So Kaspersky has literally, there's a scene where they're showing a destroyed city. There is a giant neon green billboard that just says the words Kaspersky. It doesn't say what they do. It's not advertising. It's just the word Kaspersky on a downtown LA billboard. But anyway, they launch into space. So it's main tough guy, like Ethan Hawke ripoff actor, the director of NASA, and Game of Thrones conspiracy theory guy. Those are the only three people they can get on this mission. They're currently in space on the space shuttle. And they have to have conspiracy theorists dock the space shuttle to a different like space station so they can like get supplies and do this like Land Rover mission. So they dock it, and he's on the computer, and he's typing in like, okay, lock the airlock and line up the thrusters and doing this. And as he's doing that, the screen says Kaspersky secured, meaning the NASA space shuttle uses Kaspersky to secure to other space shuttles.
It does everything.
Kaspersky bag secured.
It's so fucking funny. And it's on screen for like 30 uninterrupted seconds.
Yeah, he's just clicking Kaspersky prompts while he's trying to knock.
It's just so good.
It's really
Charlie, do you want to take away what happens next?
Yeah, it's just so we don't spend too much time on it. I could literally talk for hours about this movie. We haven't even touched on anything.
So good.
Touched on most of the Earth-dwelling things. But just to get to the spoiler part. So eventually it is confirmed that the thing that was causing the anomaly that pushed the moon out of orbit were nanobots from a sentient AI from deep-dwelling space.
Mm-hmm.
And they found our moon, which is actually a Dyson sphere megastructure, confirming the conspiracy theorist theory. And the white dwarf is being sapped by the nanobots. And once we get to the moon, Patrick Wilson, who's like the main character, he gets abducted by the aliens on the moon. And they give a brief overview of what exactly the moon is. And they tell the story that humans were actually, billions of years ago, humans conquered the universe. They were spacefaring galactic citizens who were so advanced.
Damn right.
Yep, they eventually created an AI that overthrew them, drove them to extinction, and their last-ditch effort was putting their DNA and all of their technology into these giant moon-like structures, these Dyson spheres, and tossing them out across the universe to, like, hospitable solar systems. But the AI found them, and the only one that survived was the moon. So eventually they did find the moon, and that's what caused all of this. And then Ethan, or Brian, his name's Brian in the movie, he gets special powers as a result of being beamed with all this energy from aliens.
Yeah.
This is literally Halo 4,
and this,
by the way.
And this comes the fuck out of nowhere.
Absolutely
by the
out
way.
Of nowhere.
Just
wait. So if the moon is like controlled by an AI, or there's an AI hunting humans or whatever, Kaspersky could have literally saved the day if it was actually good. They just needed good antivirus to stop this.
Well, we didn't even talk about the best product placement. This is probably my favorite part of the entire
Lexus
movie.
Slapped,
So Lexus has like the most integrated product placement of a movie I've ever seen. One of the main characters is the manager of a Lexus dealership, and his introduction is he's on the phone talking to the main character, and it starts by showing the Lexus logo and then slow panning over the entire dealership until it gets to him talking. So later on in the movie, this is the Earth part. This is the people like trying to survive all the fucking apocalypse and pandemic shit. So they're running away from some bad dudes who are chasing them because they have oxygen canisters. And they're like in military Humvees, they're being shot at, and it's like an exciting action chase. The main group in front being chased is driving in a Lexus SUV, and like it's very Lexus, and they show the Lexus logos and all that shit.
They drifted around the corners. Yeah. It's supposed to be like this cool montage of Lexus,
and it's somehow outrunning military Humvees on like incredibly treacherous, rocky, mountainous, snowy roads. But the best part, the absolute best part of the whole movie, is they're outrunning it, and the I think the son is Walter Jr. from Breaking Bad. Was I right about that?
I didn't look it up.
The son, the astronaut's son who's trying to survive on Earth, is driving the Lexus, and he's like smashing the steering wheel, and he's like, we need more speed, we have to go faster, we have to outrun them. So the Lexus dealer who's sitting next to him goes, well, wait till I shift it to warp speed. And there's a close-up of his hand grabbing a dial in the car and changing it from comfort to sport mode.
It's so cool.
It's so great.
Holy shit.
Why was it in comfort mode during a car chase?
You needed to preserve the fuel.
It's all about the fuel economy, Kaya. You wouldn't understand. If you would just watch the movie, you would know all about Lexus.
Right. All the fuel stations are blowing up from the moon. He's got to conserve that tank. I get
it. Oh my god, it is one of the funniest movies ever. There's a subplot with a general who stops a nuclear launch, and his reasoning is, I trust my wife.
Oh, yeah. No. Underselling it. It's when
why
were they
going to nuke the moon?
Yeah, they were going to nuke the moon, but for some reason, instead of waiting, or instead of doing it like right away when they knew it was falling and it was far enough away where the nuclear detonations wouldn't kill everyone, they waited till it was literally destroying their base. Like, all right, it's time to launch now, where the nukes would guarantee everyone in the world died. And then, so they're about to turn the keys, and this is when his wife is Halle Berry. She's the NASA commander, and they were married, they broke up. And then they're on space fighting the nanobots. And for some reason, inexplicably, before the dude turns the key, he's like, you know what? I trust my ex-wife. And he pulls out a gun and he's holding them all at gunpoint. He's like, we're going to wait this out. And then all of a sudden, the entire base collapses on itself and they all die.
Yep.
Wait, so does this say it's a Dyson sphere? This sounds like a dream that you had.
I know, it honestly felt like a fucking dream, a wet dream. It was perfect in every area it needed to be a beautifully bad movie.
It was a 2.5 hour movie. It felt like 45 minutes.
I wish it didn't end. I was mad when it ended.
Damn. So I gotta go watch. Even with all the spoilers, I'm definitely gonna go
please
see it.
Do.
Hang on. So please. If it's a Dyson sphere, wouldn't the sun inside like grill the planets?
Don't ask that question, Kai.
What are you talking about, Kai? What do you know about megastructures? Like, what are you an expert?
Come on, dude.
Also, imagine if it was like actually sponsored by Dyson.
Just sucks up the earth, yeah.
A real space is a vacuum. If, a Dyson.
So the humans originally created the moon. Is that the thing from like billions of years ago?
Yeah.
Okay, couldn't they have included like a how-to manual that told us?
No,
all this
Kaya,
stuff?
Don't ask those questions.
What are you talking about?
Come on.
You're just not advanced enough to understand, bro.
Come
like,
on,
dude. What is wrong with you? Well, you're not even Elon Musk, man.
Why would they be covert about this? Like, hey, this is a civilization-saving, like basically a spaceship, our last resort. It's like Noah's Ark for humans, right? Like, why would you disguise it as a moon from ourselves?
Because then it's a megastructure.
Well, it's basically in park. It's, again, saving fuel. It's just parked around the planet for when we need it, I assume.
Whatever.
Oh,
sure.
God, this movie is, it is an achievement. There is not a single character in the movie that is smart. Every single person in it makes multiple stupid decisions.
Oh, my God.
Like,
you could
rattle them off on a list and it would be the whole episode of the show. They have an EMP that they bring up to space, and the evil sentient AI, like, kind of fucks it for a full minute. And the guy is like, come on, get closer so he can blow it up.
He's literally inside of the fucking EMP, too.
It's literally.
He keeps asking the nanobots to get closer while they're penetrating it.
You guys sound insane.
This is a real
like,
movie.
I know the words you're saying, but they don't make sense.
I swear to you, Jackson, this is a real movie we both saw. It's insane.
Oh, I know. I've been looking forward to this movie for so long.
Wouldn't that like send a signal to the AI now? And like, can't it just come back with spaceships and shit and just blow the planet up?
That's the best part. We're getting so deep. Like, there's so much more we haven't even talked on. Like, for bad decisions, it turns out the nanobots only go for, like, actual electronics when there's organisms nearby, like human organics. So for some reason, the conspiracy theorist brings his fucking iPhone and starts taking pictures gets alerted. But regardless, at the end of the movie, they finally do get this EMP and what's supposed to be, like, a climactic self-sacrifice. The conspiracy theorist pops out the back of his ship, fucking scoots in sideways on the EMP, riding that bitch right into the belly of the nanobots. And then he's like, you shouldn't have underestimated us, as he detonates it and finally killing the nanobots. End of the movie, roll credits, the moon all of a sudden immediately corrects itself, so the whole world is saved instantly. Like, all of the destruction is reverted, apparently.
Apart from that base,
literally corrects
itself. How does it go back?
Literally, all of the cataclysmic fallout and everything involved just starts floating away in the sky. Like, it just immediately reverses course.
It literally cleaned up everything. Like, it just sucked up its own debris. Like, all of the dead buildings, like, yeah, let me take that.
It's
like,
hey, it's a giant moon. It's got a self-cleaning service. It probably fucking wasn't. Dyson vacuum.
Yeah, it
now.
Sucked it all up like a Dyson.
Exactly. I was right.
Curtis got it right.
And then at the end of the movie, it has the audacity to set itself up for not only a sequel, but a whole extended universe. So the Game of Thrones guy in the self-sacrifice, at the end of the movie, he comes back and he's talking to the moon AI and he's like, am I dead? And he's like, well, we downloaded your consciousness. You are the moon now. It's time to get to work.
Jesus Christ.
Because the other nanobots are coming.
So the moon says, it's time to get to work. And he says, doing what? And then it cuts to credits.
Yeah.
Oh, my
That's
God.
That's so brave.
It's so good.
It's so fucking good.
There is not a single scene of that movie that doesn't provide entertainment. Whether it's someone doing something stupid or saying something confusing or something like blowing up. It is a non-stop entertainment machine.
Yeah, it is so fucking
incredible.
Good.
I remember the Roland Emmerich guy, he made Day After Tomorrow, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I always remember this fucking scene from that movie when they go out to get like medicine from like a ship or something.
Yeah.
And they're running back and they're like being chased by the cold.
Yeah. And by wolves, don't forget there was wolves
and
too,
wolves
right?
too. Yeah, there are wolves at
how
that
do the
part.
Wolves survive out there, like it, right. the ice is literally chasing them because it's so cold, like it will instantly freeze
they
you if
fur,
it touches you,
I guess.
I remember watching that, movie's I loved also that movie great. When I was younger, but
yeah,
that, I remember
it's so
that,
good
that, that scene is just so, like, actually, they just needed a chase scene. So yeah. They're like, okay, I guess.
But they had wolves
the
to chase anyway. Yeah. Like, why choose the cold?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That movie was, I used to love that movie. It was so good. I've seen it so many times. And then that chase ends with them, like, making it back to the library. And they're like, quick, get the fire going. So they toss two extra logs. And then all of a sudden, the cold is defeated forever.
No, it's not. It's not that. They literally close the doors. They close the doors and logs. The cold can't get in. They just close the door.
Oh, yeah. They close the door. And then when the logs ran out, I think they had like this whole thing. They tried to make a statement or a lesson, I guess, or something, where they were we can't burn the books,
oh, burning
you guys.
Books, yeah.
Yeah, no. I'd rather the last remnants of humanity die than burn books. Like, who's going to read them if you're all dead?
True. Also, I was always like frustrated with that movie because like it seems I don't think they do a good job with like the passage of time because it feels like it's only like really really cold for like a day and then it's like oh well it's everybody's fine now, but it makes it seem like it's this crazy like world ending thing, but it happens for like a week and like Dennis Quaid is like I'm here now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either. It's meant to be like an ice age, right? It's meant to be like a long amount of time.
Maybe I was because I was a kid, but I was like, it literally seemed like they were just in the library for like a couple days and then the whole thing just sort of blew over.
Definitely were. They were only there for a couple days because they didn't have food or stuff and they needed like the medicine and stuff. So they were definitely low on supplies. And then there was a whole group of people that left the library and they like froze immediately as well. Like they left in exile, but then like later on in the movie, you see their frozen corpses just like right outside the library. It's so, yeah, oh man, he's such a good director.
Oh, yeah.
I love him.
Moonfall is his best work too. I think I really hope, and this is in an ideal world, we do get that extended universe of Moonfall.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see those galactic space battles where the moon's fighting off nanobots.
There's so much to talk about. There's the fact that the opening scene has the fucking astronaut called a disgraced hero and totally blacklisted for an act for the fucking aliens attacking because they blame it on him for no reason.
Yeah, then, in the beginning of the movie, the nanobots actually attack the ship and kill his friend, and they blame him. They call it negligence, even though there's video footage of the nanobots being
there. There's not only video footage of the fucking thing happening. He's got a helmet cam that recorded the entire thing because they watch it later in the movie. Like, and then there's the blatant big budget movie pandering to China. There's a fucking like scene where a guy's son is learning Chinese, and he just throws in random Chinese quips everywhere.
Is there a really cool like Independence Day tier like rousing speech, you know, that the president gave at the airbase?
There was no cool speech actually. I was waiting for that because Roland Emmerich is kind of known for those like iconically silly speeches. I don't think there was anything even close to that. The closest thing I could think of was when KC, the Game of Thrones guy, his cat pisses on the newspaper and he's like, Fuzz Aldrin, you're a genius.
Oh my god, it is the perfect movie. It's perfect on all fronts. It's entertaining, it's stupid.
I'm absolutely gonna go see
it's got fun destruction. It has all of the check marks of like a modern big budget blockbuster, but in a bad way, like product placement and pandering to international markets and plots that make no sense. Oh my god, it's just so
good.
It
had like a $120 million budget too, and every goddamn dollar was spent on making it as shitty as possible. It's amazing.
It's an achievement. It's an achievement. It's up there.
Anyway, I think we've talked about
it. Yeah, we can definitely move on.
I think Curtis is sold.
We brought Curtis on here just to fucking market a movie towards him.
to be fair, man, I wanted to talk about this literally since we watched it, and I think, Curtis, you had to reschedule, so you did this to yourself.
That's true. I also gave y'all permission, so.
True. If you told us not to do spoilers, this would have been a 3-minute conversation.
True. It would have just been Charlie and I fervishly screaming, "Watch Moonfall" over and over again. Oh, what a movie. Well, I want to talk about a place where you can hire people to film a movie, if that's okay. Listen,
we'll talk to you in another 6 minutes.
Curtis, you'll get your chance.
Jeez. This is not the best.
We've got contractual obligations. I'm sorry. Curtis understands.
I'm just an audience member. It's all good.
Curtis, Curtis, when this is over, you can have the floor. You can have the entire last 45 minutes of the show to yourself. How about that?
Sure.
All right. So anyway, if you want to film a movie, try to compete with Moonfall. You won't. You can't. But if you want to try, you could use Fiverr. According to a study conducted by Fiverr, 25% of people revealed that they had a business idea in the past 18 months, but 60% of them never pursued it. A lot of people said it was due to lack of resources. Well, Fiverr is going to give you the resources that you need because it's going to help you hire whatever freelance people you need for any project. I've used people on Fiverr to make music for my YouTube videos and streams pretty regularly. And people can use them for all sorts of shit. There's art, there's graphic design, there's classes and tutorials. You can find someone teaching you something or doing something for you to pretty much any capacity with Fiverr. And I use it regularly, and I recommend it. Simple to use, great customer service, qualified freelancers in every field. Every successful something was once nothing. Head to Fiverr.com and turn nothing into something today. Receive 10% off of your first order by using code OP at Fiverr.com. That's code OP at Fiverr.com. And while you're at Fiverr, maybe you could get someone to build you a mattress and send it to you. Maybe there's a freelance sleep associate, man who's going to meditate you into a comfortable dreamland, but they're not going to do nearly as good of a job as if you just slept on the Helix mattress. Everyone knows this. Why would you bother paying for bad quality sleep? Why do you skimp on something that you spend, I don't know, roughly 6 to 10 hours a night in? That doesn't make any sense. How about you make some sense? How about you realign your brain by having a good, filling deep sleep on a Helix Sleep mattress? Helix Sleep has a quiz that takes just 2 minutes to complete, matches your body type and sleep preferences to the mattress that's perfect for you. Soft, medium, firm, cooling down mattresses, nice little comfy plus-size folk mattresses. They've got all sorts of different types. They are also the number one best overall mattress pick of 2020 by GQ and Wired Magazine. And look, you have 2 minutes. You listen to this show for, I don't know what, an hour and a half, however long we go. You can take 2 minutes to take their sleep quiz, and you can do it at helixsleep.com/official. Now, some of you might be grumpy Gusses out there. You might be a sourpuss and say, well, I don't want to take a fucking sleep quiz to find a mattress. Well, hey, what if I told you that if you take that quiz, you find that mattress, you order a mattress, you'll get $200 off of your mattress order and 2 free pillows. But the only way you're going to do that is helixsleep.com/official. Don't go to helixsleep.com and take the quiz. Go to helixsleep.com/official and take the quiz to get $200 off and let them know that you were sent by us. And then you get 2 free pillows and you can draw our faces on them with lipstick and practice kissing it. That'd be fun. But while you're kissing those pillows, you're going to think, oh, this is such a good, like, sensation. Feels good to kiss this. Feels nice to be comfortable. I turn the lights down low so it's nice and dark. I lit my scented candles so it smells really good in here. I scented boy flavor just to, you know, really match the atmosphere of those 4 strong official boys. But what am I listening to? How am I going to pipe in my smooth, sensual, relaxing jazz music to seduce this kissing pillow to? Well, you're going to use Raycon. Look. We're in the new year. It's 2022, okay? 2020 blew ass. 2021 wasn't that great either. But 2022 could shape up to be perfect. But only if you listen to me tell you that fact with Raycon earbuds. Their everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever. They also have an awareness mode for when you need to listen to your surroundings, which I particularly use very often when I'm working out. I don't know about you, but when I'm at the gym or running or whatever the fuck, I feel really weird when I know there's people around me and I can't hear them. I don't like being oblivious. So I appreciate that awareness mode. I really hate that. It bugs me. You go on the fucking trail to run some miles, which everyone listening to this does, and the people who are on bikes just fly by you and it scares the shit out of you. I hate that. So that's why I always appreciate an earbud where you can get a kind of a, you know, pipe in the outside world a little bit. Raycon has 8 hours of playtime, 32-hour battery life, and they are half the price of other premium audio brands. Right now, official podcast listeners can get 15% off of their Raycon order at buyraycon.com/OP. That's buyraycon.com/OP to save 15% on Raycons. Buyraycon.com/OP. I wish this show was sponsored by Moonfall, because then I would segue into them, but it's not.
All right. Thank you to those sponsors for supporting the show.
Curtis,
really appreciate
please
it.
Talk.
And, yeah, thank you, Curtis, for being here.
Yeah, no problem.
We would, as a collective group, I think we'd like to apologize both to you and the audience for not saying a single word to you for the last 45 minutes.
No, that was funny. I want to give it up for the sponsor Kaspersky for this podcast. Thank you.
And hey, Lexus. It's his fault. He chose Moonfall Day to show up.
No. That's enough of Moonfall. Now that's a banned word for the rest of this episode. No more Moonfall.
Can we talk about Man Show? Because I found, Curtis, I know you watched Man Show recently. I used to love that fucking show.
Me too.
Dude, I never watched it when I was a kid. Like, I don't think I was like awake late enough to actually like catch it. Mm-hmm. I remember, I think like I was on like the Comedy Channel or whatever, Comedy Network. I don't know what it, yeah. But it was on like after South Park or something. And I was like, I'm just going to go to bed, I think, because I already watched the show I want to watch. So I never actually stayed up to watch the Man Show. But after watching it now, it's like, whoa. Pretty gnarly.
Isn't it fucking nuts how on that show Jimmy Kimmel did like blackface and all sorts of fucking terrible humor, and yet he's never
Jimmy
been canceled?
Kimmel? Wait, Jimmy Kimmel?
Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel. Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel did blackface on the Man Show. This is a real thing.
Curtis, can you confirm that? I don't trust.
I can.
He dressed up as Charles Barkley, famous basketball player, for a skit where he imitated Charles Barkley, and he went full blackface for it.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And he's never been canceled about it. No one brings it up. It happened. It was a regular thing.
To be fair, you're Canadian, right, Curtis? I think we established that at the beginning of the episode. Yes. Didn't your prime minister or president also do blackface?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
That's my favorite thing. Every single time, like when a famous person is trying to cancel someone else, like, oh, here's a, I don't know, Joe Rogan N-word compilation. And then immediately the first reply to it is like, okay, here's your N-word compilation. It's like they immediately, they always have something in their history.
But Jimmy Kimmel is like a proponent of that kind of stuff, right? Yeah. Not blackface.
Well,
he's a proponent of like canceling other people.
He's an incredibly like popular talk show host and he's everywhere. And his whole shtick is like calling out other people and talking about current events. And he's also got views on YouTube and the internet and social media. And yet people just kind of sweep this under the rug.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah. Like all the, when I was watching episodes on YouTube and like all the comments are from like weird, like conservative dudes who are just like, oh, this is back when Jimmy used to tell it like it is. Now he's like now he's a lib cuck. Dude, like, it's so strange that like, people just watch that still and are like, nice.
It's funny. This is how it should be. It's funny that people say that's how he used to tell it like it is. That's where he had a skit where he impersonated Oprah and took a shit in a toilet and it was Little Debbie brownie cakes. Like, it wasn't exactly incredibly witty commentary. I watched the show religiously. Yeah.
Still.
I love the Man Show.
You're the one
to
comment.
Oh, yeah. Well, he is telling
the one making all the comments.
He's the commenters, yeah.
No, when I was a kid, I loved the Man Show because, yeah, it was after South Park and I would just watch him back to back. I fucking loved it.
Because you felt like a bad boy? You felt like a bad boy staying up late watching blackface?
Distinctly what I remember is during the end credits when they had the hot girls bouncing on trampolines, I would pause it at certain moments to try to like see their underwear. I remember that.
Nice.
When did that show come out? How old was I?
It was a 99.
Why are you asking us?
Yeah.
Why are you asking us how old you were?
Yeah, I was like nine. Yeah, I was like 9, 10 years old when that show was on. So yeah, that's exactly what I was doing.
So
I know,
so,
and it's like, so it's like the boy show, basically. That was like their main demographic was like young boys.
The one,
the one thing is with that kind of stuff.
The other thing I remember from that show that I actually thought was pretty fun was they wanted to show that people would do anything for money when you actually presented it. So, you know that idea where you're like, oh, I wouldn't eat a raw egg for like $20, and then you actually show someone the egg in $20 and they do it. They did that a lot. There was a guy who ate a whole stick of butter for like $10.
Jesus Christ.
That's not even what this. I mean, that's not even that disgusting compared to other shows. Like, didn't Scare Factor or Fear Factor, whatever it's called, make someone eat like cow jizz or goat jizz or something?
Yeah,
like that? Yeah.
Oh, that was like elk 50 penis. Grand,
though. Yeah, that was a lot more.
How much was it for?
Didn't they win like $50,000 or something?
I wouldn't do that for $50,000.
Yeah, me neither.
Isn't that normal cuisine in Australia?
That's a regular dinner.
Yeah, no, totally not.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that for a, like any low amount or high amount of money.
Did you to kind of piggyback off the Man Show? Did you ever see its like spiritual successor, the like the Man Mythbusters or something, where they take like man myths and try and bust them, but they'd only
Mansers.
That's a great name.
Yeah, I made a video about that too.
Oh, I didn't see that one. That, I used to
educate us.
That show was like 99% filler, wasn't it?
It is so, I liked Mansers a lot more because it was like, I feel like it was more over the top. Like it was sort of like aware of itself, but like Man Show, even if Man Show was like that, you couldn't really pick up on it. But Mansers has this one clip where like they do like segments. It's like they ask a question or like a question for men. And and then they show the Manser. And the question was that they spent like 5 minutes on it. And the clip is like, just the sound clip is on YouTube, but the question is, like, the announcer is like, can you fart so hard your balls explode? And it is so, and they spend literally 5 minutes, like, doing the math and science on it. It's so fucking funny.
Yeah, Mansers is pretty good.
I remember the, if you throw your beer out in the beginning of the morning and fall in the garbage truck, how can you survive or some shit like that? What the fuck was it?
One of the classics they had that's similar was like, where is the best place to get drunk in the universe? And the key was they said universe because the answer was there's a cloud of alcohol floating out in the Andromeda galaxy.
Oh,
like
that's
they always pulled shit like that.
That's
awesome.
Yeah.
Think if there's any other.
Do you remember A Thousand Ways to Die?
Yeah.
That was another show alongside Mansers.
Yeah, but there wasn't titties and rock and roll in Thousand Ways to Die, Andrew.
No.
Oh, there were titties and Mansers?
True. Yeah, half of them were this.
Oh,
like,
of course there are.
Women in bikinis and stuff.
So, how recent was Mansers compared to The Man Show?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think it was a few years after. Well,
I think
Mansers
was like
on
late 2000s, right?
Yeah, I think I was like, hey, guys, how old was I when I watched Mansers?
Yeah, Man Show ended,
I believe you were about 12.
Man Show ended in like 2004. Mansers started in 2007.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, really? 2007?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I was in seventh grade. I was in seventh grade.
Yeah, I would have been almost around that age as well. I think I was just getting into seventh grade. I found the one I was talking about. Mansers still has a lot of their content on YouTube. The one I was thinking of, how can a guy escape from an ass-crushing garbage truck? It was about a guy who fell into a garbage truck to crush his ass, and it was about how he could survive.
Well, now I'm scared. How do you survive, just in case?
I don't remember. I think the solution was you just have to dig down far enough and hope that it malfunctions or some shit. I don't know. It's been a while since I've seen it.
Oh, dude, I remembered one. It was like basically like how you mentioned the how they would just pull like these crazy like things from left field to like surprise you and like give the actual answer. It's like they did one where it's like, what's the best way to like get a girl or like to do it up the rear with someone? Like, and they kept using the term like tailpipe.
Jesus Christ.
And then like the actual
the man way of, yeah.
And then, And then by the end of the answer was the best way to do it up the tailpipe is to actually like fuck your car, like the actual tailpipe. And that was the answer. It was pretty insane. I'm trying to find
it. A lot of it was just puns. Yeah.
Yeah, just like, yeah.
They did a ton of puns. Like, they do a fucking skit where they're like, what are the best knockers in the world? And it'd be like a pair of fucking door knockers from, like, China or some shit. They absolutely would do that.
So it was for, like, stoners? They would just laugh at the TV after, like, 10 p.m.?
It was supposed to grab your attention by being, like, what's sexual. The most magnificent ass in the planet? And then it would be, like, the world's prized donkey. Like, it was, you know, it was to,
right.
to get your attention.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, that's something so fucking lame
compared to
at.
Jimmy Kimmel literally doing blackface and, like, whatever he was doing. Like, at least the man show committed to, like, well, I don't know, really shitty stuff.
Not to, like, undersell Mansers, but they still, like, for the biggest prize ass in the world, they'd show the donkey and then just a big lady's ass. Like they'd
lead up to it with big asses and they'd show examples. They'd be like, maybe it's Big Bertha, and like she'd be a porn star with a big ass, and then you'd get something out of it.
I'm surprised there's not more shows like Naked Attraction where it's literally just naked people
Naked
on
Attraction.
TV. It's so entertaining.
What's that?
It's so fucking fun.
Oh, you haven't?
Oh,
heard
you
of
don't
it?
Know no. Naked Attraction, dude? No. This is a show that airs on. In the UK, I think, right, Jackson?
Yeah, it's UK.
And it's like, it's a normie channel too. It's like Channel 4 or some shit, where just, I guess, at midnight or something. So what Naked Attraction is, they get a bunch of naked people in the studio, like I think six of them or four, five or something. And then basically they have the main character, the person who has to pick out of a lineup of naked people, the person that they want to date. But the way they do it is they reveal each body part one by one. So the curtain will go
from
up and then you
see
the
top. Yeah.
Yeah. So you see the
so
naked.
You see their
like,
feet and their vagina first, and then you see their like tits. And in between each of those rounds, you eliminate one person. Like you're judging them based entirely off like the first round, you're judging them
their
entirely
cock.
Off their vaginas. Yeah. Or their cock. So you go, I want to remove Red because his foreskin isn't up to my standards. and then once that happens, the red canister will lift up, revealing the rest of them. And then they have to have like an awkward interaction and leave. And then it just goes on forever. It's so good.
Yeah, and then they always show, like, the person who got eliminated waddle off the set, and every single time they, zoom in on their fucking ass cellulite. And the hostess, I forget her name, but the lady hosting it every single time, she has to, like...
Anna Richardson.
What's her name?
Her name's Anna Richardson, I think. Anna Richards.
Well, every single time she, like, interviews the person who's doing the picking, she's like, so what do you think about his penis, then? Is it, like, to your liking, or is it too small?
Yeah.
How's he zooming
in? It's fully uncensored, right?
Yeah, it's fully uncensored. Okay. And more to the point, it's also, like, fully uncensored on YouTube. They have a YouTube channel, and it's fully uncensored on there.
What?
So I don't know how they managed to swing that.
Literally. Swinging.
No,
swinging
you can see full-on... Yeah, cock and vagina. There was no limits to this. Like, I was figuring, all right, they'll show penises and vaginas and boobs, but there's no way they'll show anus. And then, like, one of the rounds, someone bent over. You can see everything. So I don't know if there are any limits with Naked Attraction.
That's what I say before I watch any show. There's no way they're going to show
anus. Holy shit, you're right.
No way.
I'm skimming through an episode on YouTube, and there's just dicks and pussies flopping around everywhere. This is crazy.
Yeah. Wait, you think this was a collaborative lie by me and Kaya?
Well, I'm shocked it's on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of dicks and penises on YouTube. There's like you can literally type in
as
like medical questions and naked yoga and shit.
No, I understand from like a medical perspective or an educational perspective, but this is just reality TV.
Yeah, it is genuinely, like, I get it if it's not in a sexual setting or anything, but this seems like it was, because they're talking about dating and stuff, and they're, like, actually, like, talking about the sexual aspects of the body, so it's close enough to sexualization that I think it shouldn't be allowed, but who cares, it's entertaining.
I'm sorry, like but in the... Oh, go ahead, sorry, Curtis. Go on. No, you go.
No.
I was gonna say that's... This is a reality show. It's like if fucking Jeff Probst just had his dick out the whole time during Survivor. Like, it's not, it's not allowed. It shouldn't be allowed on YouTube. That's what I was going to say.
The one I just skimmed through on YouTube is like just a naked dude in a wheelchair. I don't know why it's so funny to me to just show that on TV. What a great show.
They had a full like what do you call it? Like people with disabilities episode. It was quite endearing, actually. It's nice. I don't think it's a great show, though. I can't remember.
Can't watch it in Canada. Fuck!
No!
You're gonna use a
VPN.
Yeah, I have to use a VPN. God.
Oh, God damn it. Danny's going to have to blur my sunglasses for the last 10 minutes. I've just been skimming through episodes.
This is mesmerizing.
You guys are right. This is like drawing me in. It's hypnotizing me.
No, it's great. You need to watch it. It's so entertaining. Like the reasons they give and how they like try to be nice about like eliminating people. Like they're never like straight up rude or anything, but you could tell they're just not attracted to them.
And
that's nice. Then.
Spoiler alert, by the way, it literally never works. They do an after segment where, you know, the person they finally pick, they go out on a date, and then a week later they do a follow up, and every single time they just sit apart on the couch. They're like, yeah, we had one date, it didn't work out. It turns out picking someone based on a fucking tit doesn't really mean you're soulmates.
Shocker.
Oh, yeah. A big component of this as well is that the host. Not the host, the guest, like the person that goes on to pick, also has to go naked in the final round. So then the two other people, like get to see them naked. It's a whole thing. It's so much fun. I love it. But yeah, that's our contribution to what were we talking about? The Man Show.
Yeah, it's kind of close to the Man Show. Like,
so
yeah,
Charlie and I brought Moonfall. Jackson and Kaya brought Naked Attraction. Curtis, do you have an interesting or weird show you've been checking out lately? Or movie or something that's been catching your eye.
Well, I did a video about this a while ago, but this is one that I try to recommend to everybody.
Okay, good.
Have you guys heard of Goat Story?
Story?
Is that a video game?
Goat Story. It is a movie. It's so insane. I made a video about this, but you should just fucking watch the movie if you have time. But it's a movie from the only animated movie out of Czech Republic. It's the first one they ever made.
Is it a Christian thing?
No, it is. It is not. Also, it's very strange. It's about this guy who goes to Prague. He goes to Prague to like find work with his friend who is a goat, and he starts like building this bridge where he meets this girl who has like the biggest boobs in any like animated movie. It's for kids too, and there's like a sex scene in it too, which is really weird, and you see her butt and boobs in it.
I think you really need to sell to the audience that even though this is for kids, it has some of the most horrifying CGI I've ever seen.
Yeah, this looks disgusting. Why is it so dirty?
Terrifying looking movie.
Yeah. It is
it looks like they've all been rolling around in like manure. Is that like part of the story?
Well, it's like set in like old times, so I guess people were just dirtier back then.
Whole thing's on YouTube, by the way.
Yeah.
Old movie.
Nice. And,
to me, it looks like if Shrek, like the Shrek movie, was like about a goat and two ogres. Oh, I guess they're humans in this.
Oh, my
God. Ogres in Shrek.
There's this weird, like he's, this. His name is Jemmy. He's in love with the big boob girl whose name is Katie. And there's this like side plot where like the goat is in love with Jemmy, but and they like almost fuck and like it doesn't happen because like he's like, oh, I can't, we're friends. That's the only thing that's wrong with that.
We'll ruin our friendship.
It also apparently had a budget of almost $2 million.
Yeah.
So, and the ending is the ending is actually insane as well. I don't know if we want to spoil it for people.
That's fair. We spoiled everything for you.
So Jemmy gets like hired to fix this like clock tower that's like broken, and they like kidnapped Katie to like make him do it, and they force him to do it. But he can't fix the clock in time. And then, so Katie is like hung and you see her hanging from the thing, but it's pretty fucking scary. And then like, it turns out that Goat, the person hanging isn't Katie, it's Goat dressed up like Katie. Like she stuffed melons in her dress to make her look like a human. So no, she good. Like sacrifices herself to like make Jemmy not feel sad that Katie's gonna get hung, basically. So then everybody lives. And it turns out at the end, like the goat actually like had like a metal thing like in her throat that made it so if she didn't die when she was hung, what? Which makes no sense. So they all, yeah, someone just put it in the discussion thing that I see. The fucking screenshot of the goat hanging dead and Jimmy and Katie like crying.
You can easily tell that's a goat, by the way.
Exactly, yeah. But everyone thinks it's like a legit person. The movie is the like, puppet?
Or anything else other than the goat, yeah.
Dude, it's so insane. And they made a sequel. And the sequel's actually like a lot better, but the first one is absolutely insane. So if you guys have like an hour and a half to spare, you should really watch that one. Because the animation alone is terrifying.
Why is the second one better? Did they take like the constructive criticism on board? All of, like, the,
well, it was requests? Just like a, it was just a, like a more like simple story, and like they actually like, I think they tried to actually like make it like more appealing to kids because there was like, it was more of like an ensemble type thing, and they just like went on this journey to like rescue their parents instead of like fixing a fucking clock and then hanging yourself. I don't.
How did you find this?
I think someone tweeted at me because they're like from the Czech Republic and they're like, this movie came out and it's so fucking scary. but yeah, it's, oh yeah, the sequel is called, so the first one's called Goat Story and the sequel is called Goat Story with Cheese.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. So it's definitely a film.
All right, there we go. We have recommendations from everyone for content for this week.
Yeah.
For people to watch.
I've got one more recommendation because it's a video I watched from you, Curtis. Your video on the attractive man is fantastic. That's a...
Oh, thank you.
That's an alpha male that I've followed for a long time. A little fun fact. So the attractive man is a pickup artist, a relationship guru, but somehow in all of his seminars and all of his montage clips, it is him getting like rejected. For some reason, he doesn't actually show any success. It's only him making all the girls uncomfortable. And that's like his big, like, oorah, look at how great I am. I made a video on him, I think like 3 years ago. He was doing a public display of picking up. And he went to some ladies on a bench. And he was like, hey, what's up, bitches? Like, let's fuck or whatever. Didn't work. Made a video, like, joking about it. I got an email from YouTube saying that this guy was representing himself and trying to take my shit down, and I had one chance to private the video or remove it or something or compensate him. And
you can't, he's too attractive.
Yeah,
compensate him?
Yeah, and YouTube themselves stepped in and said that this is an outrageous claim that we won't even be forwarding or acting on. We just wanted to bring it to your attention. So it was the first time I'd ever seen someone have such a terrible attempt at like protecting themselves legally that even YouTube, a site notorious for allowing any kind of fraudulent claim to go through, was like, yeah, even this is a bit much. Is this some bullshit?
And to even forward it to you is like, to even like, check out this loser.
Yeah, just to laugh at him. We at the office were just giggling about this and thought you'd enjoy it, Charlie. Here's what he tried to say. He made up a fake lawyer name too, and I think the entity he tried to like represent his, on his behalf didn't exist. It was so fucking wild.
It was downright fraud.
Yeah, it was.
It looks like on his YouTube banner, it looks like he has like a whole like cast of characters now. There's like a whole group of them.
Yeah, I was just looking at his channel. He has like no views too. It's like he gets 5,000 views per video.
That's rough.
Wow. Yeah, and he's almost got 1 million subscribers. Those view counts are horrendous for that.
Yeah, that is
my
God.
Yeah, those have to be fake.
Oh, absolutely.
That would be a recommendation, though. If you ever need to learn how to get laid, check out The Attractive Man. You'll either get laid or go to jail. Might be worth rolling the dice.
Probably he check around and do the exact opposite.
One of the videos is boner pops up while dancing. What to do?
Whatever you do, don't stop dancing. That's for sure.
What to do?
Best texting secrets to keep her hooked. My God, we need to abolish pickup artists.
Oh man.
Pickup artists just don't want as much fun, Kaya.
Yeah, I hate getting laid.
Yeah, but as much fun as we make of them, there's like still young boys who sometimes, I guess, watch this.
Yeah, true.
Like, yeah, I'm gonna fucking treat her like shit. That'll get me bitches.
Top 10 cities for meeting gorgeous women in USA. Holy shit.
Is Tapper on there?
In other words, he listed cities. Great video.
Yeah. What if it was like a Mancers thing and, they pulled the universe card?
Top 10 best planets for meeting chicks.
This guy's
speaking of creepy dudes, I know of a thing that both Curtis and Charlie share in common. They're both aspiring magicians. Do you guys want to talk about that? Yeah, did you see Curtis's video about being a magician? It was actually pretty impressive.
I did see that actually. That's a good discussion.
Not all magicians are creepy, just putting that out there, but there are some that like
just us.
Curtis and I.
No, so yeah, do you have any advice for Charlie? I know he wants to learn magic at some point.
Charlie, do you know like any tricks or anything, or are you just like you just want to learn them?
So the reason Jackson brings it up is throughout middle school, a little bit of high school, and then back in college, I would do magic tricks to try and get like ladies' numbers or just impress girls.
Let's go.
So I knew so many magic tricks. I invented one in college, and I'll freely share it with you, Curtis, and the audience as well. It was a sleight of hand trick where I'd give the girl the deck of cards. I'd be like, just pick any card, look at it, and then write it down or send it to me in a text message or something. So I'd give them my number for them to send it to me.
Oh my God.
They'd send me the card, right? In an ideal circumstance, it's only ever worked one time. Every other time, they're like, I don't really want to do this. But the time
I want to give you my number.
Yeah, the time it worked, she sent me the text with the card in it. Of course, I don't look at it. And it's to prove that I didn't do anything, right? She had free reign. So she puts a card back in the deck. I do a bunch of sleight of hand shit. And then I pull the card out of the deck. Is this your card? And then we look at the text message like, oh my fucking God, my mind's blown. And then I have her phone number. So bang.
It's fucking genius. So
you didn't invent anything. You just added asking for her phone number. How does that add at all?
Yeah.
Was she going to forget which card she pulled?
Oh, it's supposed to be cool, Kaya. Like, you know how you write your name on a card? That's lame. I don't get your number out of that. I don't get laid.
So then later he finds her card and she writes the answer on his cock. And they have to check it.
Check my butthole. Is this your card?
Does this taste like your card right here on my nuts?
I unironic. It was mainly card tricks. I knew a ton of card tricks. I don't think I could perform them well anymore because being able to do the sleight of hand is tough when you don't practice. But yeah, I was big into it for a long time.
Were you able to follow up on the text message? Like, she just texts you the King of Hearts or something, and you go, so what are you doing Saturday?
I tried. Yeah. I'm not lying when I said I tried the next day to no response.
Oh, you idiot.
I'll never fucking forget, because it was in my roommate. It was when I wasn't rooming with, like, my current... The friends you know, Andrew, like, that group, that current group. Mm-hmm. I was in a different room. I was at their room. It was their friend. I got her number, and I tried desperately, and it just didn't work. But I did get her number, so...
Oh, man, that's sad. Oh, man.
You still have that number, you can just give it to someone else.
Yeah, I should have tried again.
Yeah, just make a video about it.
I should have sent her a message saying you've been working on your magic. How about round two?
I should have just sent her the same card back. Just King of Hearts again. See if that breaks the ice.
Still King of Hearts?
Don't you remember?
Yeah, I remember being, like... I was big into Chris Angel, obviously, when I was like, around 13. Or how old was I when I? I was like, I like straight up, for like when I first watched the like an episode of it, I was like, this guy's straight up a demon. Like, this guy is straight up like has magic powers.
Unnatural.
Yeah, and then I was like, I just wanted to like be Chris Angel, so I learned like that coin in the can trick that he did.
Yeah.
The fucking like levitating one that he would do, I learned how to do that one.
Yeah, but he's a cheater. Like Charlie Act at least tried to do stuff in real life, whereas Criss Angel, it's all just camera tricks and shit.
Well, no, actually, be fair to Criss Angel, there is a lot that he does that is real life magic. Like the levitating one Curtis just mentioned. He uses a stunt leg, right? And then just steps onto the chair.
Yeah.
I'll throw down the gauntlet, though. I really don't respect Criss Angel, and it's because there was a trick. Do you remember the trick where he teleported a couple in a hotel room?
Oh yeah,
that one made me laugh. There's that a trick so for those of you who don't know. He's in a Las Vegas hotel, and there's this couple walking down the hallway, and he's like, "You guys are on vacation. You're on a journey. You're on a fucking vacational journey. Are you enjoying your spiritual quest?" And he goes, "Well, what if I made you do it again?" And they raise like a sheet in front of them and lower it, and they're standing in front of the front door at the end of the hallway, and they're like, "Oh my god, how'd we get over here? This is crazy."
You guys are down here. What if you were
over
there?
So stupid.
Like, that's no fun. That, like, when you know that everybody involved is just an actor and in on it. Like, if there's no actual person getting tricked, it's no fun to me.
Right. Yeah, but I for that video I made, it was like I learned like two magic tricks, and it was like, dude, it takes. I think that's why I gave up on like trying to be like be a magician when I was a kid, because it literally takes so much practice to like to get like a sleight of hand trick to actually look okay.
Oh god!
And even like when I was doing like tricks for my friends, I was like shaking. Like I was like shaking when I was doing it because I was so nervous. I was like, please don't notice what I'm doing, because you're just lying to people basically. Yeah.
That's kind of endearing. If a magician came up to me and wanted to do like street magic on me, and they were clearly like shaking and nervous, I'd just feel so bad for them. I'd just like I'd fake it so hard. I'd be like, "Oh my god, what happened? Where'd it go?"
Right.
Even if they totally fucked the trick up, so it could be a strategy.
A super insecure magician.
Yeah, runs off crying before revealing your card.
Please, this is your card. Just say yes. I need this.
Magic was just always one of those things that was fun for me growing up, and I stuck with it for way too long in the wrong area, thinking I could get laid. I remember I asked Kaya if he thought it was a good idea if I brought a deck of cards to the bars with me and did magic at the bars, and he was like, "Charlie, don't do that. Just don't."
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Dude, I, like, that's how they fucking, like, would advertise it, though. That's, like, how they made you feel.
I know.
Like, they were like, "Yo, girls are actually like all the videos they would." There was straight up. There was one like video I wanted to like buy. It was on like illusionist.com or something, and I wanted to get it so bad because there was like this trick where like the way they described it, it's like you put like a signed quarter in like a sugar packet, and then it was like you could get. This is the point where you ask like all the people to put your hands on your hand. And like, this is maybe where I could get a girl that you like to do that. And I read that as a 13-year-old. I was like, dude, fuck yeah. This is it. This is all I need. And obviously it didn't work.
Yeah. I actually, did you ever buy one of those DVDs from Illusionist?
Yeah, I think I bought one. I got one for my birthday, I think, when I was like 12 or something.
Those videos were fucking intense. I remember I got one. I remember the trick. It was called Stigmata. It was the one where Criss Angel would carve the card into his arm.
Yeah.
And Jesus.
And I didn't realize it was that intense. So when I tried it one time, my parents got concerned because I'm over here fucking scratching King of Hearts or whatever into my arm.
So like actual bodily harm?
How did the trick work?
Yeah.
Wait, really?
What the fuck?
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember exactly.
What was the trick?
You were just slitting your wrist because a VHS magician told you to.
It was DVD. It was DVD, first of all.
Oh, sorry. No.
Cutting
generational gap. What can I say?
I don't remember how it works, but I do remember, like, you force the card on them and you've already carved it into your arm beforehand. You just don't show them that side of your arm.
It sounds like all of your tricks are the exact same trick, except as an additional layer. Like, you carve something into yourself or you send them a text message. That's it.
Yeah. That's a lot of card magic is forcing.
Yeah. Card magic is literally just finding new ways to reveal you already know what card it is.
True, yeah. Also, imagine if, like, someone sees that before the trick. You just have a King of Hearts carved in your fucking arm.
Then they're gonna be even more amazed when you force it on them. They pick it up.
Yeah,
seen this somewhere.
I'd strong arm the magician. He'd try to like slip a card into my hand. I'd like muscle over my way to the other side of the deck and pick something else.
A good magician would never allow that.
That's one of my most That's one of my most hated things. Like, I feel sympathy for magicians because obviously everyone knows that magic is fake and it's all illusionary work and like sleight of hand and stuff. I hate the people who go up to street magicians and make it their life to like prove that they're faking the magic trick. Yeah. Like, you have to be a massive loser to do that. just suspend your belief and just have a bit of fun. Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like people will go out of their way sometimes to like, you know, like ruin the trick somehow.
I meant on the street specifically, like in person, just going up to a crowd and being like, "No, actually, this is fake, you guys." Like, yeah, we know. I do like
it's usually old people that are drunk and stuff.
No, guys, yeah, don't pay attention. This magic trick is a trick. Okay, don't believe them.
This guy's always annoys me though.
Stuff like, I think there was like an Asian magician guy on some TV show, some talent show, who was like doing really impressive stuff, and then Captain Disillusion debunked it like frame by frame, and I am entertained by those kind of things. Like, this isn't magic, he's literally just editing the video.
Oh yeah, when it's like TV and stuff, and they're editing, you know, cheap editing tricks and stuff like that, mm-hmm, then I don't care. And it's on TV, so
you also have to remember the barrier of entry for this kind of stuff is shockingly low. You brought up Captain Disillusion, and a lot of the videos he features, I'm like, how in the fuck do people think this is real? It's absurd how fake a lot of this shit is. But they're like, oh my god, it's real. I've seen this happen in real life. I was there.
I guess, like, the one sort of, like, outlier, I guess, is, like, David Blaine, because he like actually does like insane shit sometimes.
Yeah,
he, like,
David Blaine transitioned to being a performance artist where he does like endurance challenges and shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's actually magic.
He's the one outlier. He's
made a deal with Satan or something. He's got magic properties. He's the only authentic magic person.
Did he start the street magician trend? Was he like one of the first?
No, I doubt it. It's been around since like the Jack the Ripper days. He was making people
but I mean like filming it and having a crew there and shit.
Yeah, but whenever that was like, what? When was Jack the Ripper? That was like 1600s? 1700s?
Yeah, how old was I when Jack the Ripper was born?
What does he have to do with street magic?
No, I'm just saying, like, street magic would have been around that time. If people were getting murdered on the street, they were doing magic on the street, too.
That's a weird point of reference, though. Oh, the Jack the Ripper days, you guys. Like, it's a period in history.
The original street magician.
It is a period
magician.
In history.
Oh, when I love Doug Stanhope. When did he do a stand-up? Oh, yeah, around the Ted Bundy days.
About 80 years after the Jack the Ripper days. When was magic invented? I'm actually curious.
Oh. Fun fact, and it's something we talked about. Did you know Randy Pitchford of Gearbox fame? His grandfather was basically the guy who wrote the book on magic tricks.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I do remember.
And that's when Randy Pitchford got busted for that, like, flash drive of porn. And a lot of it was barely 18 squirting. Cam girl squirting thing that he was really trying to defend as him studying magic. He kept using
don't
that defense.
Don't remember that at all. Wait,
you
what?
Don't remember that?
We talked about it extensively.
Yeah, we talked about that. Like,
all I remember is...
Do you know about this, Curtis?
I remember we had a Randy Pitchford discussion, and I cut that up into pieces and made that fake bonus episode where you were a soundboard. That's all I remember. I don't remember hard drive full of, like, porn.
Yeah, he left a hard drive of porn at the Medieval Times restaurant. People found it at the office. They're, like, questioning him, like, why would you do this? And a lot of it was cam girl squirting. And he said that he was actually just studying how they were able to do it because he thought it was a magic trick. And with his extensive magic background, yeah.
It was a slide of pussy trick.
That's so funny.
It was fucking adorable. He
a
really
female
stuck
orgasm
to that
is a magic trick. I've never seen it.
Yeah.
Do you think he himself tried to squirt and he was like, all right, penis.
Yeah, this doesn't work. Come on.
Yeah, they do it.
How did she do it?
He's just
how
rubbing
are you
the
making
penis.
My
why
penis
don't our
disappear?
Parts look the same?
Yeah, that's one of the illusionist DVDs is how to squirt.
Wait, why
imagine buying that from your illusionist site?
Yeah, where's Penguin Magic's tutorial on how to get good squirt velocity?
You still can't believe that was real. You find your fucking coworker's porn flash drive and confront him on it, and he says, oh, I'm studying magic. I still can't believe that whole thing was real.
I know.
Yeah, Jared Fogle should have tried that.
It was a fucking crazy defense. As far as I remember, too, the case did get dropped. So I guess they were like, yeah, he must have just been really studying that squirt magic.
Oh, man.
I looked it up, and apparently magic is an old art form. It was around in ancient Egyptian times. Well, so way before Jack the Ripper.
Well, I'm not saying he was the first street magician in general. I think he was the first guy to popularize like doing it with a camera crew and filming it and putting it on
tapes. Oh yeah, there were no cameras back in ancient Egypt, that's for sure. They didn't have a live crew around for those tricks.
Yeah, they were pretty poor. They couldn't afford one.
You don't know that. They had ancient alien technology.
That's true.
True.
The cameras are hidden in the pyramid, yeah.
Does that mean they had to record the magic tricks by using, like, hieroglyphs?
Yeah, it would have been positive.
True. Well, Jesus, he did, like, a bunch of miracles. What if those were just, like magic tricks?
All right, our atheism.
Yeah, I'm destroying the Christian logic with
Christianity destroyed.
Explain that one.
No recovery.
That's kind of fucked up, actually. The first magician got crucified for his acts.
Now he's the first magician?
he's like they're trying to put him up on the post and stuff. Look, he's like trying to convince them that it was a magic trick.
To be fair, if I lived in like God knows how far along BC and a man came along and he's like, check this out. There's one fish. Now there's two. And just by waving his hand, I would absolutely think he was a demon. Like straight up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like a Redditor would walk up to him like, actually, I'm going to debunk you. There's like a hidden compartment in your table with like fish inside.
So he traveled back in time just to debunk Jesus.
that sounds like another anime.
It sounds like a Roland Emmerich plot.
The moon is a portal to the Jesus times.
Jesus lives in the moon, yeah.
Careful, Jackson. You'll get $100 million budget off of that.
Yeah, be careful. That's a good synopsis.
Please. 99 million of those dollars will be going to spent CGIing Jesus. I want the most authentic Jesus possible.
Oh, Mel Gibson will just promote himself and like take the role, I'm sure.
Yeah, true. No, I want CGI. I want it to look awful.
We're just turning squirt into wine and they fucking crucified him for it.
Jesus is all hype about his new fucking like holy magic, so he just starts taking his pants off trying to squirt for the audience. I'd be impressed.
I mean, I would too, especially back then when there's nothing else. Like, you can't do anything for fun. It's like, I'll just go watch Jesus piss himself or something and call it magic.
All the kids in the village, well, what do you want to do today? We could play stickball, we could do chores. Oh, I heard Jesus is going to piss himself in the town square. Yes.
His daily score.
He's trying so hard.
Yeah, holy water is just Jesus squirt juice.
Oh, yeah, now I'm really starting to debunk.
Dude, I think about that kind of shit constantly. How many things that we've gotten, like, slightly historically inaccurate, and so we fucked it all up? Like, what if holy water originally was just cum? Just a chalice of cum? And we just fucked it up throughout history.
Well, I feel like man has always known cum, right? Yeah. Like, it's not like it wouldn't be this mysterious substance.
But what if it was holy cum?
Well, I guess unless it's like sparkling or something, you probably wouldn't have any indication that it's special.
Watered down cum, maybe?
Mm-hmm. No.
Right. Watered down cum makes you grossed out, not regular cum?
Yeah. All of it.
He wants his cum full strength.
Kyle likes cum with pulp in it. Disgusting.
Don't dilute my cum.
It's a sin.
Kaya goes to a dick sucking contest and sees a guy with a glass of water. He's like, you savage. Disgusting.
Disqualify him. Wait, don't they baptize babies in holy water? I hope it wasn't cum.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah. So it's just water then.
Yeah,
to ruin religion for us, Kai.
Yeah, man.
It was Curtis that said that holy water could have been squirt juice.
Okay, that wasn't a... That had some facts to it, though.
That would suck. Imagine being like a little kid and the priest just dunks your head in a vat full of cum. That's like a bully.
What did you change to vat?
It's like a giant barrel. I don't know how baptism works. Don't they hold the baby's entire head down in the water or something?
Depends on the priest.
There's many types of baptisms, right, as well. Like that you can go to like the beach and get baptized in the waters there.
Yeah, there's like a lot of different ones. And sometimes it's really aggressive. Like there's that viral video, the priest who's like fucking submarining the baby in there.
Does it like four times all while singing. Yeah.
Waterboarding it.
Pretty much.
It has that really good meme with the Lebowski from the Big Lebowski.
Poor baby. Someone just posted a GIF.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like he's washing water. Yeah, really good. My God.
It's like the baby's arms are gonna rip off.
I know, it's fucking scary. Sometimes the priest just gets like vengeful, like beating the devil out of him with the baptism.
Jesus. Wow.
Yeah. Well, that's how God wants you to do it. Just really get his shit in there.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. Alright, that's been this episode of the official podcast. Curtis, do you have any last topics or anything that you wanna talk about while you're here with us?
No, I'm good. I mean, you can all talk and I'll just listen if you guys want to keep going.
Jesus Christ, okay, fucking chat, I'm sorry.
No, I'm
can
all,
you ask
I'm
Curtis
good.
A
thanks,
question?
Thanks for having me on.
Well, wait, there's apparently one last question that chat wants to ask us. Charlie can do it.
This is such an OG question. Feel free to not answer if you don't want to, Curtis, but you're welcome to. Do you have any interesting masturbation stories, like masturbatory tales?
Nothing's really coming to top of my head. I mean,
you never tried to squirt?
My usual way of like self pleasure is I'll tie myself to a cross until I just squirt.
Baptized in the cum. Yeah, classic.
No, I mean, there is like, I feel like I've been pretty, I've been like top of my game for like my whole life on that shit. I haven't had any like weird, like no one's ever like walked in on me or anything like that.
Wow.
So I mean, I've been
pull that off.
I've just never done it. I'm too scared. So
yeah, he's never masturbated before.
Yeah, I don't know. That's the secret, is never do it. I wish I had one, but sorry, guys.
Oh, no, you're no, right.
It's not your fault. It's a tradition on this show. I'm kind of personally over it. There's only so many wacky masturbation stories that you can hear before it all becomes the same, so it's fine. We weren't expecting
Chad was screaming at us, though.
Yeah, we'll get yelled at.
Sorry,
if you're
Chad.
To.
Sorry.
Well, that was
shout
fault,
out your stuff.
Then.
Let people know where they can find you, Curtis.
You could find me on YouTube. Just search my name. You could watch stuff. And I got a podcast too. To the people listening that are also podcast fans. That's it. Thanks for having me on, guys. This was fun.
Yeah, appreciate thanks
it.
For coming on, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Super nice having you. Yeah, both of mine and Kaya's partners are big fans of you, so they'll be very happy to hear this episode. And we'll see everyone else next week. We got a Patreon, patreon.com/theofficialpodcast, where you can listen to bonus episodes. Yeah.
Give us a...
Go over and listen to it.
Give us a 5-star review, please, on Spotify. That's it.
Only if you feel like we deserve it.
We do.
All right. Thank you. We will see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.